Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's, the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet.
Still no proof of that.
Hey, man, all the proof is in my heart.
I mean,
and
listen,
in the pudding.
But is it in the cockles or the subcockles of your heart?
It could be in both the cockles and the subcockles. You never know.
Because I got shit in my cockles and my subcockles, but it just tells me that I'm an asshole.
That's fair. Well, folks, I am one of your hosts, Josh, and this asshole over here is my other co-host, my best friend here, John.
Listen,
how you doing, man?
You are a scruffy nerf herder, and none of you out there can say that. Only I can say that.
That's fair. That is also true.
I realized something the other day. As a kid, when you watch Star Wars, you don't realize how much of a dick Han Solo actually is.
It's true.
But
you
if
really
you
don't
look
think
back
about it.
And you watch like the original trilogy, there's a scene when he goes out to save Luke, and like Luke's in like the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
He gets on a Tauntaun, and one of the guys runs up to him. He's like, "Don't go out there, Han. You could die." And he pretty much looks at the guy and goes, "Fuck off."
Yeah, pretty much.
And then he like rides off into there. That poor dude probably went back over to his, like, sergeant, and the sergeant was probably like, "What happened?" And he's like, "All I tried to do was tell him that it's cold out there, and his Tauntaun's gonna die," and he was like, "Fuck you!" Like,
it's true.
Han Solo was given rank of captain because he showed up with his own fucking ship.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all you need.
It's not like he earned the title captain.
Well, he's a captain of his own ship.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, Leia breaks. I mean, she gives her heart to Han. She goes, "I love you," and he goes, "I know."
It's true.
Like
he's an asshole. But a lovable asshole, you know, like you. All right, so folks, today we're talking season 3, episode 18, Rebound, bro. This episode, John, aired on your 24th birthday.
I know. I was
May
thinking about that.
Because
when we did the last episode, you said it aired on my dad's birthday.
Yeah. Because
we got that week difference.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I wonder if that episode, that means the next episode aired on my birthday.
It did, sir. It did. Directed by Pamela Fryman.
P-Fry!
And written by Jamie Ronheimer, who previously did Aldrin Justice, Lucky Penny, and The Yips. And would go on to write episodes like Old King Clancy, Robots vs. Wrestlers, and Slapsgiving 2, Revenge of the Slap. Yeah. Some real good episodes there.
That's probably one of my favorite Slap episodes.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, you know, you get Mickey in that one, and you get the whole fight over who gets the slap.
Yeah.
I mean, in all fairness, you get my second favorite of all the Aldrin games. You get Diseases. I'm fighting a losing battle with hemorrhoids here. Oh, that's one of the diseases? No.
He also wrote on shows like Yes, Dear and Will and Grace, and would go on to write on Call Me Cat, which just ended, and The Ranch, which both of us watched.
Oh, I like The Ranch.
Yeah, so a lot of good stuff there. So the summary for this episode, Barney struggles to fill the void after his falling out with Ted. Stella and Ted fight when Ted reveals some personal information about her to the gang.
Not the whole gang, though.
No, not the whole gang. You are right. Let's see. Future Ted picks things up after the previous episode, telling his kids that the spring of 2008 was a complicated time that he and Barney had stopped being friends. We head over to the bar. Ted is annoyed when Barney calls him. He answers, and Barney acts like he's the one dumping Ted. I thought that was pretty funny. Neil's always good at stuff like that, you know, just kind of playing into that Barney role. The rest of the gang is sad about the split. Marshall apparently misses getting high fives.
I mean, I get that. I mean, you would miss getting high five or hugs.
I think so. He's like, my fist bump callus is going away. That was funny.
I wonder if you actually get a callus from that.
I mean, if there's enough of it, you know, it's often enough. Sure, why not? Robin wants to know why he's not mad at her instead. We talked a little bit about this in the previous episode.
Yeah.
But it gets dove into a lot more here. You know, Ted says he's not mad at anyone. You know, he's forgiven Robin, but he's just outgrown Barney as a friend. But Lily knows the truth. He's not mad because he's so happy with Stella. You know, and then we get this montage of the last 2 months of them dating. And like I said before, this is actually the first time that we have seen Stella since her introduction in episode 13. So there were 4 episodes where she was not seen at all. And she was only mentioned in one of those episodes.
So, because I'm trying to think over this in my head. Does that mean they do the movie date and the 2-minute date all in the same episode?
The movie date, yes, technically, the movie date is mentioned at the end of the one before 10 Sessions, and then it happens at the beginning of that episode, and then the 2-minute date happens at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ted's just smug.
Yeah, because they go through, it's essentially 3, because that episode was like the first episode back from the writer's strike.
Oh. We're
in the middle of a writer's strike right now.
I know, man. It's history repeating itself.
And, 10 Sessions, so that's why 10 Sessions, they just, in one episode, they go over almost 3 months of time.
Oh, just to catch it all up to...
Because that's how long of a time span that writer's strike was.
Fair.
You know what I mean? So they were able to just kind of explain what, instead of having to backtrack, you know, they were able to stay up to date and just use it that way. So, yeah, it's pretty clever, I think. So we learned that she and Ted have not had sex yet. Hasn't happened.
That's crazy.
They have not gone to Pound Town yet, John. They haven't visited the Bone Junction.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
There are so many different ways we could word it.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't shown him the old face.
Yep, no old face, nothing. She hasn't let him visit, the under the bridge troll, nothing. So Ted has not had sex in 5 months since they say Thanksgiving, which was the Slapsgiving episode where him and Robin.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I forget about that.
That was the last time he had sex.
I just love that he says 5 and she's like, same.
Yeah. And he's all pent up, man. And then we head over to Barney's office where we meet Randy, played by the amazing Will Forte. Love this
guy. This is our first introduction to Randy, too.
Yep. Randy brings Barney his new Sky Mall catalog.
Yep.
Which I thought was great.
So it's weird because now that you have broken, like, as you shattered the window, I can't see Will Forte anymore and not hear Abe Lincoln. It's because he doesn't really change his voice for it. He just kind of like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I can't. I see him and he's talking and I'm like, hey, Abe.
Yep. It's funny because he did that same voice in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
As well, he did Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
And for everybody out there, if you haven't watched it, go watch Clone High. It's fantastic.
Returning soon.
Yeah, and the new one is coming out like 10 days, I think, from the point that we're recording.
Figure snaps.
On the 23rd on HBO Max. Go watch that. We are not sponsored by HBO Max. Though, if HBO Max wants to give us some cash,
Or a free subscription.
Yeah, you know what? Either way, I'm in.
Try to save you some cash here, bro.
So this is, like you said, this is the first appearance of Randy. And apparently, I didn't realize this. Randy's only in 2 episodes of this show. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. He's in this one. And then I'm not even sure what season it's in. It's the one where he gets fired. Yeah, that's it.
The Warmpus.
The Warmpus episode, yeah. Those are the only 2 episodes that he's in, which I was I thought he was in more, but apparently
I thought he was at least in like 3.
Yeah.
Because nope. I knew he was at least in the two, because...
It's funny, because he's like a standout side character.
He really is.
You know? And so, like, it's crazy that to think that he was only in two, but he's one of the ones that, when you think, when I think of at least of side characters from the show, he's one of those ones that instantly pop in there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Randy, he obviously reads Barney's blog. He worships this guy.
Listen, his botch of legendary, though, makes me laugh.
Oh, my God, it's the best.
Because he's like, it's going to be legendary. Wait for it. Dairy.
Yeah, that's
and I'm just like,
it's so bad.
Do you not hear it? Like,
no, he does not. But he wants to be Barney's next wingman, you know? But Barney's like, no. He's like, you're more of the assistant undersecretary of Only OK. And you know what? Randy's cool with that. He's
I was going to say, he's just so happy that Barney recognizes him.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, I don't want to use the word adorable because it's like, you know, but it's really sweet.
Yeah. But Barney has other plans. He starts making some phone calls. So I wrote down, you know, all the guys who he calls. He starts off, he calls Pete, who's just had a baby, so he's out.
Yeah, but Barney doesn't not without Barney trying to get him to the fucking bar. So you're thinking, like, 9:30?
Yeah. Then we have Stapleton, who's already bros with Doug Stein.
Yeah, which, honestly, Doug Stein's a lucky guy.
Doug Stein, he's a great bro, man. I hope you're happy. He gets real emotional. It's funny. And then my favorite of the three, Crazy Willie.
I mean, Crazy Willie is at least somewhat crazy.
And he has an interesting idea for a wild night out, John. This is what he says. This is his quote. I wrote the whole thing down. He says, here's what's on the rocket docket. The wife and I'll put cheese out at 7, cranium at 8, 9 p.m. We watch 27 dresses. Everybody's home by 11. Booyah.
In the 80s, I was always in bed by 8 and home by 11. Oh!
And because of this, Barney hangs up on him, but I loved what happens after.
I was going to say, I love that he calls him back and he's like, because what's his name?
Crazy Willie.
Crazy Willie. He's like, hello? And he's like, one hang up wasn't good enough. Yep. Click.
And he did it again. Oh, man. It's funny because this isn't the first of Barney's other friends that we have met.
No.
We met his previous wingman, Insane Dwayne.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were out at like a store or something and he runs into him.
Yeah, where were they? I don't even remember where they were. But yeah, but he had settled down with because he'd gotten somebody pregnant.
Yeah.
Similar to what we find out happens way at the end for Barney. And he settled down and completely different guy now. Yeah. All right. So we head over to Stella's office. She's telling Ted about her day. She apparently had to lance this gross thing off some dude's back and pus exploded everywhere. But Ted's not thinking about any of that. All he can think about is sex.
Dude. So there's a great line that happens here when they're talking.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's this part is where like, she's like, Ted, you're staring at my breasts. And he's like, in all fairness, they were staring at me first. And I'm like, first off, that is one of the greatest comebacks to ever getting caught staring at somebody. Like, don't even play it off like you weren't. Blame the breasts.
Yeah, there you go.
But I also have to say, I always forget how stunning Sarah Chalk is until I see her on TV. And then I'm like, you know what? Zach Braff and...
Elliot.
No. Josh Radnor. Two fucking guys.
Yes, yes.
Because both of them have gotten to be around her, and like, I'm just like, I wouldn't mind just a fucking hug from Sarah Chalk, let alone getting to be around her when she's like, in character being who she is, and like, flirty and fun, and like,
yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, she's a... She's definitely one. I like this scene because it had this fun interaction between them with the door where he goes over and like the door, he tries to lock the door. And she's like, there's no lock on that door. And he's like,
we can have sex against the door.
Yeah. We could have a three-way, you, me, and the door. And then she's like, her line after that is like, but then it'll be weird tomorrow between me and the door.
Yeah.
And that just cracked me up. Just the way she was able to, it's like, he's so like manic about this and like wants it to happen, but she's able to just kind of like deflect it all with humor and not get mad about it or anything in that moment.
A parallelness to another one of her characters being that of Elliot Reed, it kind of reminds me of when her and JD are doing the, just the friends with benefits. They hook up whenever like she's sad.
Yeah.
And like JD's like, he's really proud of it. And he does like the, every time he like does the pose and it does the dun, dun, dun. And it just kind of reminds me of that because it's like, she's just such, she's the girl next door. She's so pretty, but I guarantee you tell Sarah Chalk she's pretty. She probably doesn't think she is, you know, but she plays like the quiet, good girl. I'm always just like, you know, like, steal my heart.
It's true. So then Stella reveals that she's nervous because she hasn't had sex in 5 years.
5 years, man. I love that when Ted tells this to the gang, Marshall starts researching things.
Yep.
My favorite one out of the list.
I wrote down the list.
Go ahead, because I'll get when you get to it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, so Marshall goes through a list of things that happened that same year, which would have been 2003, 20 years ago from now.
I graduated.
Yeah. So his first one was the movie Seabiscuit came out. The world was just learning about SARS.
SARS.
The Da Vinci Code book came out.
That's the one that made me laugh because he's like, the Da Vinci Code, it just came out. And Rob goes, well, that doesn't seem like that long ago. He goes, in book form.
Yeah, he's like, not the movie, the book.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what, though? I'm like, that's hilarious because, like, it was a good book, and then, they made it the movie, and people forget that it was a book first. But I'm like, at the same time, like, it's just so fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And then also, he says, Nell Carter died.
Yeah, and this upsets him.
It does. I wasn't sure who Nell Carter was, so I looked it up. She did a voice in the movie Bebe's Kids. I don't know if you remember that movie.
No.
Bebe's Kids. But she also had a main role in the show Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah, see, I watched that show all the time. Those were the things that I knew her from. She did a lot of other stuff. She was a singer, an actress, Broadway star. She did a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Nell Carter was huge on Broadway.
And so I decided to do my own research and found some other things that happened in 2003, John.
Okay.
So here we go.
Well, besides me graduating from high school?
Yes, besides you graduating from high school. The Space Shuttle Columbia disaster happened that year.
Oh, fuck. I remember that.
Americans renamed French fries to Freedom Fries to protest France's stand on Iraq. Harley Davidson celebrated their 100th anniversary.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor of California.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Saddam Hussein was captured by U.S. forces.
I remember that.
Apple launched iTunes in 2003.
Huh. Funny story about Apple. We'll come back to that, though.
Roy of Siegfried and Roy was attacked by one of his white tigers. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And then I wrote down a few movies that were released that year. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Finding Nemo.
Oh,
Bruce
shit.
Almighty. Matrix 2 and 3 came out that year.
Okay.
And X2, X-Men United.
Wow. Yeah. That is, wow. Look at you doing some research about 2003.
Yeah.
Also, you know, just because I had been doing my research recently. Did you know that Apple is trying to release a car to keep up with Tesla?
Really?
Yeah. They're having issues because apparently they can't install Windows.
All right, folks. I think we're going to end the podcast early today.
Come on. That was good.
Come back next week. maybe we'll finish this one. Maybe we won't.
Come back next week when Josh has recast my role.
Oh, damn. You guys can use...
That was good, though.
So yeah, you guys can use that joke anytime you want. I give you, even though it wasn't my joke, I give you permission. Jeez. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, getting back to the episode, Stella decides that she's ready to have sex with Ted, and they make plans to go to a hotel room of this weekend.
Yeah.
Ted is...
sister babysit.
Yeah, you know. Ted is worried that the expectations will be too high, that he's not going to be able to live up to, you know, how she's thinking about it in her mind. And so Marshall tells him he needs to manage those expectations so that she's not disappointed. To which he also reveals that he apparently hates Jerry Maguire, the movie.
Which I don't understand, because Jerry Maguire is a classic.
Well, he says it's because Ted hyped it up so much as, like, this is the greatest movie of all time. And it let him down. It was those expectations. But, like, I can understand being let down, but to hate it?
I mean, I had somebody hype up a set of movies to me once. And when I watched it, I was highly disappointed. So I get it.
Was it me? What did I do?
It was.
Which movies was it?
I'm not gonna out the movies, rightfully so, but I will say it was the worst 12 and a half hours of my life.
I mean...
And I held a grudge against those movies. Hold on.
I don't think I forced you to watch them back to back.
I didn't say you forced me to watch them back to back. I said you hyped those movies up.
It's true.
But I will go back to say that when I went back and watched those movies years later, I watched one a day, not the extended editions. I watched the normal theatrical release, and I enjoyed the movies much more.
Good.
But I still think they're overhyped movies about a hike that could have been taking a whole different... You know what? You want to hear me go on this rant? Sign up for Patreon.
There it is.
I will rant about it for hours.
Yep, I'm sure some of you already can figure out what movies he's talking about. But if not, you know, that the only way you're going to find out is if you sign up for Patreon. Boom.
I mean, you sign up for Patreon, I will give you my axe and my bow.
There it is, folks. Barney then calls Marshall, and Marshall's like, the phone rings and he picks it up. He's like, no, I'm married. I can't be your wingman. But then my favorite is when he calls Robin.
Yeah, calls Robin.
She picks up. No, click. Doesn't even let him talk.
I mean, sometimes you got to shut it down before he has a chance to start rolling.
It's true. Then we go back to Barney's office. He officially is making Randy his new wingman.
I love this scene, though, because I love that, like, they're carrying something super heavy.
I think it's like a mirror or something, because you hear, like, glass break.
Oh, yeah.
In the background.
But yeah. I love that he's like, hey, Randy, come in here. And he just, like, drops it, runs in there. And the other guy's, like, still holding his half, but I'm just like, damn.
And then so when Barney tells him this, he goes back out into the hallway and does like a crazy dance of excitement, and it reminded me of Amy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah,
because she did that a few times with Holt. She'd go out on the balcony and do that. So I thought that's just what that made me think.
The only difference is Randy doesn't realize he can be seen.
I mean, that's true. He does it.
Because he does it again later on in the episode.
Yeah, and if he does realize, he doesn't care. I don't know.
I mean, they say dance like nobody's watching.
It's true. So then we head over to Stella's office, where Ted has brought her lunch, potato skins.
Which he hasn't had in an extremely long time.
Yeah, and he does this whole thing that to try to lower her expectations. Like, I remember these being pretty much the greatest thing I had ever eaten.
First off, potato skins are the greatest thing on God's green earth.
I don't know if I say done the right. Greatest.
Listen, motherfucker. I will go to... You want to say this is the greatest How I Met Your Mother podcast ever? I'll let you have it if you agree that potato skins are the best snack food ever.
I will agree that you think that.
I'll allow it.
And so, yeah, he uses this as this whole, like, trying to lower the expectations. He's like, I remember them being the greatest thing, but now they're just kind of
I'm gonna go as far to say this, and this is gonna, I'm gonna come off kind of dickish on this one, and I'm gonna prelude with that now.
Okay.
If Ted's sex game and his pre-game foreplay routine was as good as it should be, he would have nothing to worry about in this instance. No, it tells me that Ted's sex game needs work.
Yeah.
Because never once have I had one of my dry spells and then been like, oh God, I'm about to have sex. I need to lower the girl's expectations.
That's fair.
As a matter of fact, I play it the other way where I'm going to be like, listen, you're going to be calling all your ex-boyfriends being like, oh, you were nothing like this guy.
Yeah, you're nothing like this guy. You were so much better.
I'm done recording this podcast.
I want to go back to potato skins for a minute, John.
No.
What? No, yes. What are your favorite toppings to put on?
Oh, man, if we're going to do it right, you got to have the base potato skin with, like, still a little bit of the potato left in there so that it's got some meat to it.
Yeah.
But not too much so that it makes it like a baked potato still.
Yeah.
So, like a thin layer of the potato. So then you gotta have the sour cream. You've got to have some cheese. You got to have some bacon. Maybe a little bit of, like, either onion scallions or, like, chive on top of it. Oh, fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. Did you say sour cream?
I did.
Okay.
Sour cream was, like, the first thing I said.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, sour cream is a go-to for any potato skin.
Yes.
Somebody one time tried to tell me ranch dressing, and I was like, I like to load mine up and act like it's a little boat carrying God's green creatures to, like, my mouth. Like, it's Noah's Ark, and I'm like, ah!
It's Noah's Ark, and you're the rain?
Yes. Let the rain fall down, like Hillary Duff once said. Hey, slightly move to your left for a second. Hillary Duff.
Hillary's always in the room with us.
Sweet. I mean, I'd let her in the room with me anytime.
That's fair. They make this. They make a joke during this scene that I laughed at. Virginity 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. Now, where is the other one that we always make reference from? Is that Scrubs? Electric 2 or it's something too. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I mean,
or is this where that reference comes from?
I mean, I hear it a lot, just in general. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if it's also in Scrubs somewhere.
Because I feel like. Because me and you had a joke about that for a long time where it was like something too, Electric Boogaloo.
I don't know where we originally got it from. Well, huh. Where we originally. Because, like, for a long time, I didn't know what the reference was.
What is the reference?
It's a movie called Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's the sequel to the movie Breakin', which is a breakdancing movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I honestly didn't know myself, so. Yeah. Now I know, and maybe some of the viewers who are listening now know.
Yeah. I've never seen it, obviously, but that's where that comes from. I don't know if I learned it from here or from somewhere else, but yeah, Virginity 2, Electric Boogaloo makes me laugh. Stella makes a comment about a guy in med school who had three testicles. He's one ball short of a walk.
One ball short of a walk. And I was like, that is a clever way of saying that.
Yeah. Which I thought it was actually really funny because, like, in this, her doctor character knew a guy with three balls. But in Scrubs, her doctor character knows a guy with one.
Oh, my God. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in both instances, she knows a guy with a non-normal.
Testicular problems?
Yeah, non-normal number of testicles.
I mean, in all fairness, if Turk hadn't been kicked in the balls by Izzy, he wouldn't have lost one.
Testicular torsion. Oh.
Turned into a mini disco ball.
It's a hand warmer. It's got a mark on his face.
Fucking Todd with all the burns.
Oh, man, I love that show. Anyways, this is not the Scrubs podcast.
Dude, we should do a Scrubs podcast.
This is not Last Call at Sacred Heart. Get
last
out of here.
Call at Sacred Heart.
Which doesn't make any sense because that's not a bar. But I know there's a bar in there. I just don't remember the name of the bar.
I don't remember the name of the bar in there either.
Yeah. Anyways, but speaking of bar, we head back over to the bar. And Barney is trying to teach Randy his ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough, though. Randy's really awkward. This is where we get the legendary line, which you loved.
I mean, it's like I said, it's a great butchering of the line.
Yeah. Randy is afraid to approach a woman. He starts, like, talking to himself. Like, it's kind of creepy there for a minute.
I mean, it does, but it's my favorite creepy line happens on the second round of, like, moments.
Is it the with the koalas? Tell me it's the koalas. Okay, I'm
going to get to that. It is totally with the koalas. Because he has such an open door where, like, there are some of Barney's plays that were, like, they're very narrow, and you have to stick to a very specific thing. Because a lot of people don't either, like, when you're like, oh, I play for the Yankees, you have to play a very specific role there. And you have to know very wide or very narrow
information.
Thank you. Yes. I was drawing a blank.
But yeah, he could have said literally anything.
Anything.
He could have been like, I love how cute they are, or, you know. Right? Anything, man. But
their tastes great.
Oh my god. We'll get to that though. Because I wrote that in there. So Barney tries to have you met thing with Randy, but the camera pans over and he's hiding under the table.
To the booth.
I was like, oh my god, what are you doing? We then flash over to the apartment. Stella comes over, so that she and Ted can head over to the hotel. Then Marshall and Lily come home, and they spill the beans that they know about the 5-year drought.
And they try to play it off like they don't, like after they catch on that Stella doesn't know that they know.
Yeah.
They're like, I mean, you know, other things, ice cream, a night away. And it's like, they fucked it up.
They did.
But I have to say, this is another instance of Ted being a straight up dick. Because he does not help his own situation here.
No, he does not,
like,
man.
He could have easily just been like, listen, they're my friends. I tell them everything. It came up so I could try to help ease the situation. And instead, he's like...
And then just thrown, you know, he could have just also apologized.
Right, and that's it. I was like, going to say,
really apologize.
Yeah, he could have worked in an apology. And instead turns it around. He's like, listen, you were looking for any reason to not fuck me this weekend. And here it is. You're turning an anthill into a mountain. And I'm like, you dick.
Yeah. And the shitty thing is it works. In the end, I mean, it does work, you know? It's like, it just makes it seem like, he was all in the right. No, he shouldn't have said anything. He was in the wrong for telling them.
Oh, absolutely was in the wrong.
And he never really apologizes for that or takes any responsibility for that.
No, and see, that's one of those things that, like, there are some times where, like, Ted will do something and I'll be like, okay, it's justified later on. Like, it takes a little bit, and maybe he should have said, I'm sorry. But, you know, like, there are times where, like, me and you do something stupid. Like, you know, one of us hits the other one in the balls with a flaming kendo stick and doesn't apologize. But you don't have to apologize because I knew it was an accident. You know, it was an honest accident. But sometimes an apology wouldn't hurt, even if it's been, like, almost 10 years.
Fine. I'm sorry. I'm on camera saying I'm sorry.
But this is one of those moments where Ted literally should have turned around and just been like, I'm sorry for saying this. This wasn't right. I shouldn't have accused you of only wanting to, you know, get out of the weekend and having sex, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, even if it was just a half-ass apology that he, like, made sounds.
He should have apologized for telling his friends in the first place, which he never really does.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, and I mean, I understand, like, me and you share way more than we probably should with the two of each other. But, I mean, it's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. So, also, during all the Ted and Stella stuff, we get a quick flash to the bar where it's revealed that Randy hasn't had sex in 13 years. 13 years. It's like, he peaked when he was young, apparently.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah. I love that line. I peaked when I was young.
Yeah. So then after all the Ted and Stella stuff, we head back over to the bar. And Barney is going over the three beginner techniques for picking up a woman at a bar.
Isolate her.
Yep.
Down talk her.
Yep.
And insult her?
No, because down talking means an insult.
And then what's the third one?
So it's isolate her from her friends, repeat her name in conversation.
That's what it was. Damn.
And subtly put her down.
Yeah, which he skips subtly.
Here's the problem is he tries this and he almost succeeds until he straight out calls this chick a fat ugly whore. That is not subtle at all.
But I love it because he's like, her name was, it was Cynthia, right?
I honestly don't even remember.
Like, that's a pretty name. He says it again, and then he says it like a third time. He's like, come over here. And she's like,
Which, that was creepy, first off. He's just like, come over here. I want to talk to you over here.
I love the way he says it, though, because he's like, come over here. And like, she's like,
Okay. Yeah.
And then he's like, you are a fat, ugly hoe. And like, I'm like,
oh my God. It's like, what did you just do, man? What did you just do?
It kind of reminds me, and I know this is a small leap to get there. Barney has one play that it kind of reminds me of, and it's the He's Not Coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a real dick move.
It is, yeah.
Like, you know, you go up to the spot on the Empire, or no, it's not the Empire State.
Yeah.
Is it the Empire State? Oh, yeah, it's because it's the Observatory deck.
Or is it the Statue of Liberty? It's one of those.
No, it's not the statue.
Okay.
It's the one from When Harry Met Sally. Because, you know, it's iconic. And then, you go around telling girls, he's not coming.
He's not coming. But I will soon. And so this gets a drink thrown in Randy's face.
Oh, yeah. But I love Barney's response to that, too, because you get used to that at points, and you can see it coming, and hey, free drink.
Free drink. So Barney has a new plan, John.
Oh, he does.
He tells these new girls who are at the bar that Randy is the leading expert on koala bears in Australia, and he's in town working with the Bronx Zoo.
And I love that, because, like, that's, again, it's vague enough that, like, open window, you can talk about anything about koalas.
Yeah. And one of them asks him, what's your favorite thing about koalas? And what does he say?
Their meat is delicious. And the way he says it, because he's like...
It's such a creepy voice. Their meat is delicious. It's like, you could have said it, even if you were going to say that line. You could just been like, well, I mean, I know a lot of people don't know this, but their meat's pretty delicious.
Right?
And that's really weird. But it's not nearly as creepy as the way he said it.
No, and that's it, man. It's Dahmer Doppler.
Yeah.
Like, it's the delivery. It's the way it's, like, portrayed. But, he could have went with anything and been like, you know, I love that they're cute little teddy bears. You know, the watch them eat is amazingly adorable.
Yeah.
No, their meat is delicious.
Their meat is delicious.
Hannibal over here.
And so after that failure, he gets Robin to help out a bit, letting Randy practice talking to her.
This is where we get another great Randy line, and it's fucking killer.
Yeah, he gets a nosebleed.
Yeah, and I love how Robin's just like, oh my God, your nose is gushing. Are you okay? Yeah, my nose always bleeds when I get an erection. And he walks away, like, slightly hunched over.
Dude, I noticed, because I don't think I've ever noticed that before, that he walks to the bathroom all awkwardly because he's supposed to have an erection in that moment.
I hadn't really thought about it originally. It's like, because I originally, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, he's walking like that because of the nosebleed. That's why I get blood on his clothes. Nope, it's the erection.
It's totally the erection.
But I love that when he comes back, he's got, like, wads of fucking toilet paper in his nose. And he's like, well, I don't think it's clotting, but I think it's just running down the back of my throat.
Yeah, and Barney's right. He's like, ugh. But while Randy's gone, Robin calls Barney out, about how he's trying to fill this void from missing Ted. and that Randy is his rebound bro, hence where the title of the episode comes from.
I love that, because she does. She calls him out on this, and Barney gets emotional. Mm-hmm. He's like, how dare you say that? Like, that's not what this is. He's like, Randy is my new best friend, and blah, blah, blah. And in this moment, I see a real parallel to, I'd say Michael Scott and Dwight.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, Dwight clearly looks up to Michael, but Michael does not want anything to do with Dwight usually.
Yeah.
Unless it somehow benefits him.
Yeah.
And he always puts him in his place where, like, you know, like, Dwight will be like, I'm assistant regional manager, and he's like, assistant to the regional manager. And that's, this whole thing reminds me of that.
Yeah.
But it's when Randy comes back from the bathroom and he reveals, you know, he used to be a cop. And Barney's like, you never told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll continue from there, obviously. But
yeah, apparently he was a New York City police officer for 3 months.
3 months.
3 months. And Barney's like, I can use that, you know.
And he does. Yeah. And it fucking works.
It fucking works, man.
That girl was cute. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, you're bleeding. Which clearly we know why.
Yep.
And Barney's like,
piece
of
shrapnel.
Yeah, piece of shrapnel. And gets him like tissues.
Yeah.
She takes the dude home. And I love, because Robin fucking gets that little remark in here. She's like, Ted would be proud of you. And Barney's like, you had to go and mention Ted, didn't you?
I literally put that in my notes. Because it's such a great little moment between them.
Well, I know it were, because obviously, you know, it's like you said it, which I think is totally meta, that we're breaking the fourth wall that we don't fucking have. It reminds me of the episode that's going to happen in a couple episodes where Ted gets hit by the bus, and they call Barney, and they're like, you know, Ted got hit by the bus. And then Barney, and soon, gets hit by the bus. And it's what brings them back together, obviously, but it's like, they still care about one another, they just don't fucking realize it at this point.
That's true, yeah. And we only break the fourth wall when we talk about our production side. That's all.
What? We have a production side? I thought this just edited itself.
Because again, I'm going to break the fourth wall. We just did the previous episode right before this one. What? That's right, folks. Double decker style.
Why Josh is wearing the same shirt?
I don't know what you're talking about. I had glasses on the whole time. No. I just washed this shirt and just put it back on, you know.
Sure. I don't know if you ever noticed, but there are times when we do back-to-back episodes that I'll change my headphones so they're at least a different color to give the appearance of different episodes.
That's funny. I have not, but that is pretty funny. I mean, I could have, like, put my hair up, put my glasses on.
You could.
Really switched it up, freaked people out. But
for those of you who don't get to watch this, you listen instead. The headphones I'm wearing currently have, like, blue earpieces, and my other set are black and red, which is my favorite colors. So I alternate between my headphones because these ones are honestly more comfortable, but I like the feel of the black and red ones because, again, they're my favorite color.
There it is, folks. A little more fourth wall breakage for you.
What?
There it is. So then we go back over to the apartment. Stella comes over, and she apologizes for overreacting and admits that she's a bit of a self-sabotager.
Saboteur.
And tells Ted, you know, she's all in. But again, no apology from Ted.
Nope. And this would have been the perfect moment to have been like, you know, listen, I'm sorry as well, you know?
Like, I shouldn't have said anything to them about it, you know, that was my fault.
No, but instead, nothing. He makes a fucking dick joke about it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so she says she's all in, and then she introduces him to her daughter, Lucy, and the episode ends with them running off into her room to have sex, and then, yes, right after Ted jokes about calling Lillian Marshall.
Although, random thing, this is 2008 at this point.
Yeah.
She still has a landline.
I feel like 2008, yeah. Because, like, the first iPhone had just come out the year before.
That's
so, like, outside of having just, like, a basic flip phone kind of a thing, I feel like at that time,
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, fuck, in 2008, all I had was a flip phone.
I feel like most people probably still did have
I was dating Sarah still.
Their stuff there. So they're landlines. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Ted was dating a Sarah. I was dating a Sarah.
There it is, folks. So that is season 3, episode 18, Rebound Bro. John, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
I mean, it's a good episode. I love that. Like, I love Randy. Randy yes. makes this episode for me. And I don't care, hands down, how creepy the line was. His delivery of "their meat is delicious" lives rent free in my fucking head, and I am somehow gonna work that into a conversation sometime.
Oh man, I hope someday that someone just asks you about koala bears. I need to be there for it. I really do.
If I ever get to meet Will Forte, like, I have such a list of things I want to say to him, but I want to start the conversation with, like, I just want to walk up to him and be like, "their meat is delicious."
So this is what you do. We'll Photoshop a picture of him and a koala bear together, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I'd like you to sign this, and I want you to say their meat is delicious.
You know, it's funny because I always have, like, random things, like, if I meet certain celebrities, like, I want from them. Like, I'm gonna fuck his name up, and I know it. It's Dylan. You wrestling fans know him better as Hornswoggle. I want him to sign the picture of him with Zack Ryder's championship.
Yes.
But I want to get it as an 8x10 because I want to put it on my wall. Yeah. And I think he would be chill enough to sign that because, you know.
Some people wouldn't, but I think he probably would.
Like, imagine walking up to Melina with, like, her with the tag titles. She would probably, like, shit fit rip those up because, you know, it's over-sexualizing her. But I feel like Dylan would be really chill about that and sign those that photo.
Yeah.
If I got to meet Will Forte, I wish. I would have to go through a lot of trouble to do it. But I would love to get, like, a mock bottle of Warmpus.
Yeah.
And get him to sign the label. Or, like, when I met Raven, I had my Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, there are certain celebrities I would love to get them to sign because, like, it's key to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this episode mainly because of Randy, but it's a good episode overall. What about you?
Yeah. I think it's a good episode. I'm not gonna say it's, you know, one of my top episodes, but I think Randy. I agree. I think Randy makes the episode, which makes me sad that he's only in two because he's such a good character.
He is.
You know, I would love to have seen him pop up here in random places here and there. But especially because when Marshall's working at G&B, like, we visit there fairly often.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to have seen him a bit
even more. In the background, you know?
Yeah.
During the board meeting when, like, they're making Ted think he's designing a building.
I mean, we end up seeing Blauman like that in some of those episodes, you know.
We
He's just kind of there in the background. But yeah, I think that would have been really fun. All right, so now that we've talked about the episode, it is that time, folks. It is time for Barney's blog.
Suit up, bitches! Oh, fuck, nosebleed.
We all know what that means. So this edition of Barney's blog is titled A Call to Wings. And it says, behind every great man is a great wingman. Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen. George Bush the first had Dan Quayle, and someone that we just spoke about, Han Solo, had Chewbacca.
Fair.
Yeah.
Because Han Solo's a bitch.
Nobody calls Han Solo a bitch. but sadly, you can't just snap your fingers and find a Dan Quayle, so I have been forced to scrape by with Ted as my wingman for the last few years, but no more. I'm in the market for a new wingman. Below is my application to be Barney Stinson's wingman. If you think you're up for the job, and let's face it, you're probably not, please complete the form and mail it back to BarneyStinson@yahoo.com. Signed, The Barnacle. All right, and so I'm going to put this up on screen for everybody. It is the application to be Barney Stinson's wingman.
Which I'm looking at on my phone currently.
Yes, yes, he is. And so, all right, so we look at it. Obviously, it's got, you know, personal info, name, email address. It says alias, such as Jack Package or Jacques Package.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Package. It's
Jacques,
French.
Jacques Package.
The Barnacle.
The Barnacle. And then special skills like PowerPoint, speak German, masseuse.
You know what makes me really sad about this is that under alias, because it hasn't happened yet, Swarly.
Yeah, well, I don't think he would have put that on there because he hated that.
I know he did.
And then I love the next part. It says, on the scale below,
rate your attractiveness from Ted to Barney.
Ted to Barney. So Ted and then
Ted's a one. 10.
Yeah, Ted is the one. And then it goes 2 through 10. And then there's like a bunch of extra space. And then it's Barney. And so then we've got this picture of it's like a picture of a bar, a couple of women in the background, a couple of men up front. And it's like a stick figure drawing. So this is for you people who are not watching. And it says, you are character A, wingman in character B. Explain what game you would run and why. So, you know, you've got, there's a bunch of stuff in here, too. There's like a spilled bottle of beer on the floor. It looks like a pair of glasses on a stool. The bartender, I'm not sure what he's got there. He's like a rag, maybe. And then there's like a picture on the wall as well. So
I would run a play called the Looking for a Lawsuit.
Like a slip and fall?
I would go for the bathroom, slip and fall on the puddle, smashing myself into the bar, and then threatening a lawsuit. Help, help, I need help up. You know, I'm hurt. Somebody call 911 type deal.
Yeah, yeah. Like, is there a doctor in the house? And then have your friend, you know, the one who you're waiting for, come over pretending to be a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Go. Yeah.
So you got this.
Then we've got some multiple choice questions here. What percentage of chicken was found infested with bacteria?
83% is on there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 32%, 3%, 97%, and 83%. Then we've got, you are claiming to be the session drummer for Van Halen. Who could not be your lead singer?
David Lee Roth, Gray.
I think it says Gray Chrome, Sammy Hagar, and Barney Stinson.
Well, obviously be B.
Yeah. Number three says, for some reason you're pretending to be British. Who is your president? Tony Blair, Winston Churchill. The third one's kind of cut off.
It looks like it says Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make sense. And then trick question, prime minister.
Isn't it?
Because they don't have a president.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then four, women do not enjoy jokes about their A, face, B, shoes, C, intelligence, or D, none of the above.
There you go.
Oh, and then there's an essay question at the very, very bottom.
Yes.
And I was reading this while, like, you had first sent it to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a great question that it, like, could just be an essay in its own. And it says, in the space below, talk about a person who has made a significant impact on your life. And I'm like, damn, I could write an entire essay about Josh.
Boom.
My best wingman, motherfuckers. He's mine and not yours.
It's true. But yeah, so that's all of Barney's blog for this week's episode. Do you have anything that you'd like to add for the about the episode or anything else?
No, not really. I think that this episode pretty much sums itself up.
You're not wrong. Well, we don't know that yet.
No.
But soon. Like a season or two, maybe. I'm not even sure.
I'm not even sure on that one.
Since you don't have anything left, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
Listen, people, it's the same thing every episode. Hop on over to my Twitter, simply saying J1. Find me, follow me, like me, do whatever you want to do. Shit talk me, I don't care. Either way, you're on my page.
There it is.
I'm getting likes because of it. If you want to hop on over to my Facebook, add me on Facebook. You can do that even. I'm pretty much available. Honestly, though, I recommend in going finding this motherfucker over here, his fine ass, because he's got a lot of shit going on Twitter. He's got a lot of shit going on YouTube. This man is an essential part of everything. He's co-hosting other people's podcasts. He's making appearances. He's got his own fucking... This man is so popular, I'm surprised he doesn't have a fucking action figure yet.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope. I'd love to have an action figure. Just saying. But yeah, you guys can find me at Movie Blog Merc on Twitter. That is the Twitter page of my site, Merc with a Movie Blog. Also, speaking of my site, Merc with a Movie Blog, I will be virtually attending the Tribeca Film Festival. So look out for all of my coverage of it there. But also, if you are watching this on video, you are watching it on the Merc with a Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and click that little bell wherever it is.
And remember, if you're using your mobile device, you can use that little bell to set your notifications, let you know every time we drop new content, which you should be doing.
Hells yeah, do it.
Do it! Do it! You won't.
Yeah, I hope you do, though.
I mean, you should.
I hope you do. I mean, and you if you are
one of our sexy faces.
It's true. If you are listening on podcast form, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcallhymym. Leave us a voice message. Love to hear your beautiful or non so beautiful voices. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. You know, just is what it is.
Judgment free zone.
Yeah, you can head on over to Apple and leave us a 5-star review if you like what you're listening to. We will read that out on air. So be sure to do all that. And then hop on Twitter and Instagram at lastcallhymym. And hit us up there. You know, we love to talk. Love to hear your thoughts.
I mean,
and Patreon for all the crazy stories and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. If you want to hear crazy behind the scenes stories of anything, hit us up on Patreon. Let us know what you want to hear.
Yes.
I'm sure that there are thousands of things that come up that you'd be like.
And if you want John to do an in-depth review of the movies that he referenced earlier,
Patreon. Shit. You want to hear me do my JFK impersonation? Hit me up on Patreon. I would do that for free. Hit me up in my inbox on Twitter, and I will send you a voice recording of me doing JFK.
You can have him set your voicemail by that. There it is, folks. Yeah, so like I said, Twitter, Instagram, at lastcallhymym. I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
Balls on you.
Balls on you. I don't think we can leave him with that.
Listen, you don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
All right, catch you guys next time.